Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How important is it to be motivated? Lee Iacocca said, "Motivation is everything. You can do the work of two people, but you can't be two people. Instead, you have to inspire the next guy down the line and get him to inspire his people." Motivation is a characteristic that some people seem to have more than others. I'm reminded of what Zig Ziglar stated. People often say that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why, as Ziglar says, we recommend it daily. Our guest today is very unique. He's been motivated to do what he loves to do for the same athletic program with all the changes that come with it for nearly four decades. No one has everything going for them all the time. So how do you stay motivated to stay the course? You know, the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio show is because we believe that it's a privilege that God has given to us, my guest and I, to bring you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, there's times in life where things seem to become unraveled. They seem to get out of control. We all go through that. And perhaps you're at a moment in life right now where you need a breath of fresh air. Well, we have some fresh air for you given by God. And in that fresh air, as you inhale, figuratively speaking, it's an inhaling of God's grace and hope that you are not at your end. It is not over. In many ways, it's the start of a new beginning for you. And there's hope. Christ is here to remind you of his love, of his hope, and his strength for you. And we have a desire to help you, to lead you in a way to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Coach George Lumpkin has been a fixture on the UH Manoa campus and recently assumed the role Director of Player Personnel. Coach Lumpkin, who enters his 34th year on the coaching staff, ranks among the department's longest tenured employees, along with women's volleyball head coach, Dave Shoji. He's been affiliated with the UH football program for 37 years, including two as a player and two as a graduate assistant. Prior to current head coach Greg McMackin, Coach Lumpkin worked under former head coaches June Jones, Bob Wagner, Dick Tomey, Larry Price, and Dave Holmes. This goes back all the way to 1974. He was the assistant head coach under June Jones for 9 seasons, while also serving as defensive coordinator and linebackers coach during those years. He's been a part of almost every memorable event in modern UH football history. He was on the coaching staff of all 9 modern-day bowl appearances and 3 WAC, Western Athletic Conference, championship teams. Coach Lumpkin and his wife Valerie have 3 children, Monique, Sean, and Chalet. Coach Lumpkin, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me, Danny.
You know, as I'm introducing you, Coach, there was a tinge of the historic there. And I need to let our listening audience know, our dear friends, that Coach Lumpkin still looks like a young man. He's young and sharp, and no wonder. You know, athletes, Coach, especially those football players, they look at their coach and they say, man, that's our coach. That's our coach. Tell us, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Compton, California. And always have liked sports, played sports, come from a relatively large family, I guess. Not that large, but we were six siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a modest upbringing, but we enjoyed each other and loved each other and still love each other to this day.
Coach, you know, you've become a man of influence through the collective measure of your years of service and training and developing athletes. Who influenced you, you know, during those early years?
You know, it's interesting that you would ask that question. I had a young coach. He had just graduated from UCLA, and he was a basketball player. Mm-hmm. And he came to coach us. I was going to a Catholic elementary school, and he had a large influence on my life. He was the first one that talked to me at that age about being able to earn a scholarship. He talked to me about the idea of going to college. So he had a large influence in what I decided to do and how I decided to do it.
How old were you at that time when you met him?
Oh, I was in the eighth grade. And
so he kind of sounds like he instilled a vision in you, a dream in you.
Well, you know, when I was in the, I think it was the sixth grade, I remember when I was outside playing and we were waiting for some of the parents to come and pick up their children from school. And we had this one guy, this other guy, I can't even remember his name right now, but he was a coach at that time. He was a volunteer coach at the elementary school, and he was a large person. And I can remember to this day, and I tell this to some of my players sometime, we're out there playing and joking around and as kids do, and he said, let me tell you guys something. We all got around him, and he says, let me tell you something. Whatever you decide to do in life, he said, make sure it's something that you enjoy and something that you like. And before he had said that, my thought was I was going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or something like that because I wanted to make more money because mm-hmm. I was from a modest upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
But he changed that whole way of my thinking with that one statement, that one time in my life, he said, because he said, I get up every morning. He said, I have a family, and I go to a job that I don't like. He said, but I go to that job because I have to support my family. He says, so whatever you desire to be in life, whatever you decide to do, make sure it's something that you like. So every morning you get up, he said, you enjoy going to work. And right then and there, I changed my thought and decided I was going to do something in sports because that's what I love to do.
Now, how did you discover a gifting in athletics and a passion for it?
Well, you know, athletics was something that it seemed came natural to me. You know, I wasn't the type of kid that played Little League baseball or flag football. But at the school I went to, they had sports. And I went out for sports because we just played around a lot in the neighborhood. And as far as being something that I could do, it seemed like it was natural to me. And I grew to love it because I was good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I loved it so much that after that statement that that person made to me, I decided that I was going to make that my life.
Hmm.
And God has blessed, and I've been able to hang in there ever since.
So where did the focus on football come from?
Well, when I was in the eighth grade, this one guy I was telling you about from UCLA.
Was he a football player?
No, he was a basketball player.
Basketball player.
But he was a – he became our football coach. And he just – the whole idea of – he just made going to college and getting a scholarship so inviting. And so that – I made that one of my goals.
What did he say? How did he do that?
Well, he talked about, you know, like I say, I was blessed to be very good at sports. And that year we had a flag football team, and boy, I scored like 26 touchdowns. And I mean, it was just crazy. And and that's when he started talking to me about what a scholarship. I never even knew what a scholarship was in eighth grade. And he talked to me about scholarship. I asked him, what was that? And he said, I said, what is that, a scholarship? He said, you get all your meals paid for. You can eat as much as you want. And he told me you get your education paid for. And he explained what a scholarship was to me. And when he told me I could eat as much as I want, I thought, man, that's what I want to do. I got to get one of those things. But he instilled in me just a desire to be the very best that I could possibly be in sports. He told me that if I continue to work hard and continue to keep my grades up, that I can get one of those scholarships. And that motivated me to do that. And God bless, and I was able to achieve that.
Well, you know, I'm wanting to find out, and I know our listeners would want to know how that journey came about and how, through the course of the unfolding of George Lumpkin's plan, that God brought you here. And even more than that, how you came to know the Lord in a personal way. And how that has made a difference in your life. You know, when we come back from our break, Coach Lumpkin, you know, he's just getting started here. We've got a lot more for you. A lot more enrichment. You know, when you hear someone share about their life story, you can see the hand of God, the fingerprints of God all over. You know, God has his hand in your life too. His fingerprints are there. But do you see it? Can you recognize it? When we come back, you're going to hear more from Coach Lumpkin. And he'll give you some more tips on seeing God's fingerprints on your life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700-998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. online. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Coach George Lumpkin. Coach Lumpkin is the director of player personnel for the University of Hawaii Warrior football team. He's been a pivotal, significant part of the Warrior football program for nearly four decades. And he's taking us back to childhood. And Coach, how that one man, sixth grade, told you about, made a statement that influenced you. I wonder what he would be thinking of or feeling today to know what you've become.
I don't know. I hope that he would be proud because what he told me at that particular time changed the whole direction of my life. That one statement. And that was a powerful statement for me as I look back on it, because my life was in a different direction. But just for me to remember that for all these years, I was in the sixth grade, but that's God making a statement. As I look back on those things, God was already directing me to be where I am today, because if he had never made that statement, there's a chance that I probably never would have been in athletics.
Now, how did you come to Hawaii? How did it all unfold?
That's an interesting story. My goal was to get a scholarship. And out of high school, I had two scholarships that, for various reasons, I turned down, and then I end up going to a junior college. And I was playing football, and God has blessed me to be a talented athlete. And while I was at the junior college, my first year, I became all conference and all league and everything you could be at that particular time. And then my sophomore year came up. Now, after my freshman year, I got letters from so many colleges, just a number of colleges, colleges I never even heard of. I mean, I was throwing letters away every day. They would bring a stack to me every day, and I just throw them. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I was throwing them away, and if I had known what I know right now, I would have filled out all those questionnaires and sent them back. But I didn't, and my goal was maybe to go to either UCLA or either SC. Well, what happened is my sophomore year comes along, and I get hurt after the first game. And in those days, you didn't have video and a lot of DVDs and that type of thing. And so if you got hurt, you just kind of dropped off the radar. So my injury was so severe that I missed the entire season, except I came back for the last game. And because I had missed the entire season, well, all those people that were interested had no idea what happened to me. So their interest wasn't there anymore. So I ended up with two scholarships left.
Just like that.
One was to a college right there in California, and the other one was to the University of Hawaii. And I just had something in me that that's adventurous. So as you can see, even as I look back now, it was all directed, because this is where I needed to be. This is where I was supposed to be. And I chose Hawaii because it was just something different.
What kind of injury did you have?
I had a severe ankle injury.
Wow.
You know, and I couldn't, you know, I was a running back at that time. I couldn't cut, you know, and I wasn't a power running back. I was kind of a
finesse.
Yeah, finesse guy. And I couldn't do that.
You know, that the reason I ask, Coach, is because as a young star athlete, that is something that many athletes today can relate with, either the injury, the fear of injury, or the recovery of injury, and how it works out in the overall scheme of a person's career and their dreams. And to see how you, now as you look back, you can see how God was working. Now you're here, and I mean, we're looking back at a very significant point. But God used that. So you're looking at Hawaii. You're an adventurous young man. What happened next?
Okay, then Hawaii comes, and they offer me a scholarship, and I accept. So I come over to the University of Hawaii, and first year here, they switch me to a defensive back, because at the junior college, I was playing both ways. My freshman year. And the coach that came from Hawaii to recruit me was the DB coach.
Okay.
So he told me, don't tell anybody that you were running back. He said, I'm recruiting you as a defensive back. I said, no problem. So I came to the University of Hawaii and played and had a outstanding junior year, 6 interceptions, and you know, just had a great year. And come up on my senior year, of course, everyone has aspirations about going to the NFL, and that was my goal, is to get my education was number one, and to number two was to go to the NFL. Well, about halfway through the season, I got hurt and tore my shoulder up and never played another down. And there again, as I look back on my life, that was another direction by God, because if my goal that year was to intercept 6 more balls or more, and to go to the NFL and play football in the NFL. And I think if that had happened, I think that right now I wouldn't be in Hawaii. So by me being injured, that kept me in Hawaii. And when I got injured, and I still had aspirations about going to the NFL, I thought I'd repair my shoulder and everything would be fine. And I didn't get it operated on, but I never played. And so I had Larry Price was my coordinator coach, and he had connections with the Rams. And my desire was for him to contact George Allen at the time and get a free agent tryout. But I was playing basketball one day, and my shoulder popped out again. So I decided NFL is not for me. So I stayed in Hawaii, and my goals all changed. I wanted to become a head coach of a junior college back on the mainland. I decided I want to coach. So that was my desire, but I needed a master's degree to do that. So what ends up happening is Coach Holmes would always want his graduate assistants to not work to go and work for a year outside of the sport or outside of the team, then come back, because he didn't want you coaching the guys that you played with. And I told him, if you do that to me, I may not be back because that's too long of a break. And I said, I have no way of supporting myself. So he made an exception for me. So I worked on my master's and got my master's. And so now I'm going to go to the mainland. That's what my desire is, and become a head coach at a junior college. Well, Coach Price hired me as a full-time assistant. And I enjoyed that and worked, and my desire still was to go back to the mainland. And after I had worked, I had been a graduate assistant for 2 years, and then I was a full-time coach now for 3 years under Larry Price. Well, right before the third year, the junior college that I went to, they offered me a head job to be a head coach.
Wow.
And
the plot thickens.
Yeah. And so the guy that was my head coach was now the athletic director. The guy that was my position coach was now the head coach. So I had come through there a couple of years recruiting. And so on this particular year, they said, George, we'd like for you to be the next head coach at the Harvard Junior College. So I said, wow, you know, my dream is coming true. Well, what happened is that third year, we didn't do a very good job. The team ended up having a losing season. And a lot of the coaches left and went and did other things. And Coach Price had really been a mentor to me. And he was a big influence in my life and me understanding football. And so because the other job was available this year, I felt like I couldn't take it, because then I would be deserting the ship when Coach Price needed me the most. So I didn't want to be like the other guys that left and went the other ways. And so I just said, I'm going to stick by Coach Price.
Wow. See, that's a fundamental decision, but it's rooted in a character decision. Not to judge anybody else, you know, just everyone making their own decision, what they feel is best for them. But something formidable in the face of opportunity, you make a character decision. Now, as you look back, of course, you know, it's only seen in hindsight of this choice that you made and the influence that has grown over the years. A loyal decision, a man of faithfulness, a man of character. That's the whole thing. How does one get motivated to stay the course? And you did it. You continue to do it. There aren't many of your kind in your profession. They say cream rises to the top. Well, the cream in the profession of collegiate coaching or coaching in general is few and far between, Coach Lumpkin. I want to find out when we come back from our break how your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ actually began. How did you come to know him? What difference Christ has made in your life? You know, this decision you made, there are some divine attributes in the way that you've carried yourself back then, and I've continued to do so. You have something to say to me, Coach. You have something to say to our listeners. We can benefit from it. We can become better people because of your example and what Christ has done through you. When we come back, you're going to hear more from Coach George Lumpkin. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winterward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinetta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Coach George Lumpkin. Coach Lumpkin is now the Director of Player Personnel for the University of Hawaii Warrior football team. He's been for many years the assistant head coach. He's been part of the program, a fundamental part of the UH Hawaii Warrior football team program for nearly four decades. Before our break, Coach was talking about a pivotal moment in his life. And just as a recap, his dream of being a head football coach for a junior college was placed in his hands. At the time, he was a, what were you, a graduate assistant at the time?
No, I was an assistant coach
mm-hmm. under Coach Larry Price. And there were some transitions that went on. And even though he had that in his hand, in the junior college that he had gone to and played at and starred at, he made a decision to stay. Coach Lumpkin, what was it that caused you to make that decision?
Well, it was Larry Price himself. I mean, I don't think he even knew that I had a job offer, you know. But he had done so much for me when I was playing for the University of Hawaii. He had a way about him where he was a very strong disciplinarian, but at the same time, you knew that there was a lot of love for his players. And he would make sure that you were the best that you can possibly be on and off the field. But there's so much love that came through to him, and he was so knowledgeable about the sport. So there's things now that I learned from him when I was under him as a GA and as assistant coach that I used throughout my coaching career. He was definitely my mentor when it comes to helping me to understand how to deal and how to talk and how to treat people in a certain way at the same time to still be a disciplinarian where you can draw the best out of a person.
So when others transitioned out, you stayed. You stayed. These are fundamental reasons that really are personal and speak of your character and the influence that Coach Larry Price had on you. You know, I think it's great for people to hear even about Coach Price in a way that, you know, he can be heard on the radio most any day, but the kind of influence that he's had, the legacy that he has through your life at the University of Hawaii, and I'm sure many, many others as well. What an amazing legacy. Coach Lumpkin, what about your relationship, your spiritual life, your relationship with the Lord? How did that come about?
You know, the Lord was always kind of pulling at me, you know, throughout my years. And there was always times when I was directed. I felt like I need to read the Bible. But I would go to the Bible and I would open up first page and try to read it and didn't understand it. You know, these and thous and thus and, mm-hmm. you know, and I just put it down and move on. And my wife, who is a beautiful lady who has a great influence on me and my life, her father was a minister, and I was not saved. I would go to church, go to Mass, but when I met her and then we got married and we had been married for a while, and we had two kids at the time, and the Lord came to her, and she felt like she needed to rededicate herself to God. And I used to go to Mass on Sundays, but then I'd come home and kind of do the things I wanted to do, you know, and live the way I wanted to live. Not that I was living so badly, but I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And she decided to rededicate herself back to God, and she found the church out in Waipahu, the City of Refuge, and she started going there. And I get up in the morning, I go to Mass, and she would go to church at about 10 o'clock. Well, I was go to Mass at 7, be back home, and me and my wife was always very close, and she would, all of a sudden, she wasn't there anymore on Sundays because she was going to church. And I kept thinking, what is going on at that church where my wife, because she would go in the morning at 10, then she'd go back in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And and she said, well, you know, I'd like for you to go to church with me. I said, well, no, I'm glad you found the church. So you continue to go where you go, and I'll go where I go. But some in me, because it seemed like we were being drawn apart, which I didn't like. So she said once she made it, and we used to go, she made another statement. And she said, you know, I would go to church with you every once in a while, so at least you can go to church with me. I said, that is correct, and I will. And my children liked the church that she was going to, so she started taking them. So it's like I was by myself, and my family was in another direction. So I chose to go to church with her one Sunday. And I can remember going to church, and I sat way in the back of the church. It's a church that has about 600 seats. I was almost on the very last row. And our pastor was up there, and he was ministering the word. And, boy, he had a great delivery, very direct with the way he spoke, and that's what I liked. And then he has the gift also of prophecy. So he comes down after he finished, and he starts prophesying to certain people. And he prophesied to this one guy, and I'll never forget it. He asked the guy, you're wondering why God told me that you're wondering why your church is not growing. And he said, because there's somebody in the church that you need to really get out of your administration. I said, but you're thinking that this person, God is going to change them and they'll be okay. But God said, that's not so. You need to get her out of the administration, and then once you do that, your church is going to grow. And then he asked the guy, do I know you? The guy said, no, you don't know me. And I thought to myself, it's a plant.
Mm.
I said, this is a guy that he just put there and come down off the pulpit just to say things like that so people would think that he really hears from God. So that's what I was thinking. I was sitting back there in the back of the church just like that, thinking that. And he walked across, because there was a middle section in between our church, front section, back section. He walked across, and then he went to go back up towards the pulpit. Then all of a sudden, he just stopped. And he came, and he turned around. He came all the way back to the back of the church. And he pointed at me. And he said, and he told me things that I had never told anybody. Told me things that I was thinking. And it just, man, it just kind of blew my mind. Huh. And I thought, there's something to this. You know, there's something to him hearing from God, because there's no way. There's no way that he could have known that if God hadn't told him. Hmm. And I thought I came right back to church, but my wife told me it was a month before I came back. But then I started going to church. And it seemed like every time I went in that church, God had a word for me. Hmm. And as he ministered to me, God knew that I was kind of like, I'm not from Missouri, but, you know, that show me, you have to show me in order for me to believe it. So God really directed him to show me different things in my life and tell me different things that were going to happen. And and I began to understand that God is for real. Hmm. And it was really interesting because as I grew in the Lord in that church, one Sunday I was in the back, and I was still new in the Lord. And our pastor talked about giving your life. Have you really accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, have you asked God to forgive you of your sins? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and he arose on the third day? And have you confessed that and then confess your sins? He said, because if you haven't done that, then you really haven't given your life to the Lord. And I thought about that and I said, I don't think I've ever done that. So right then and there, sitting in church, without any fanfare or anything like that, I gave my life to the Lord. And I guess God has been blessing ever since.
This is Coach George Lumpkin. Amazing story of how Christ came and touched him through the ministry of his pastor in City of Refuge Church there in Waipahu, Dr. Wayne Anderson, and how the Lord used his wife, Valerie, to be that gentle influence in his life. I'm sure that along with her invitation, Coach, there was a lot of praying for her dear husband. You know, the relationship with the Lord that a person has is not just in good times. A lot of times the real foundation of things, the anchor that Christ is, the rock of our salvation, is often seen in those very lean times, in those very unexpected, painful moments that sort of hit us in a way that we just could not have expected. Coach Lumpkin knows all about that part of life, and when we come back from our break, he's going to share with us some challenges that he has faced. Really a challenge that took his faith to a whole nother dimension. When you hear it, you'll be able to connect with him. But more than that, you'll be able to connect with the Lord who helped him through. Because the Lord who helped him through is the same Lord that can help you through and bring you to a life of another dimension. Stay with us. You don't want to miss this. We'll be back with more from Coach George Lumpkin. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Coach George Lumpkin. Coach Lumpkin is the Director of Player Personnel for the UH Hawaii Warrior football team. And, you know, if you want to find out more about what it means, we've been talking about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to find out more what it means to actually have a relationship with the Lord, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. We have a tab there. Just go ahead and click the Get to Know Jesus tab. I also have some prayers there and some special videos that we've created for you. If you need ministry, a prayer for your family, a prayer of healing, prayer for your financial situation, just go ahead and click that. I can pray for you. I can pray for you just by you just clicking on that tab. Just go ahead and check that out. I think you'd really appreciate it. Go ahead and send that word out to others that it's a way of resource, way of ministry for you, thegoodlifehawaii.org. But like we said at the beginning, we want to lead you closer and closer to the Lord. If you want to find out to have a relationship with the Lord, thegoodlifehawaii.org. We've got this program as well as other shows with other guests that I think will be an encouragement and inspiration to you. Now, Coach, I do want to talk about the challenges. But before we do, just a quick parenthesis. Pisa Tinoi Samoa. Jeff Obrick, Pisa with the Los Angeles Rams, and Jeff Obrick with the 49ers. Guys like Jairus White, I mean, we're going back then. Jesse Sapolu with the 49ers. Blaine Gysin with the Atlanta Falcons. Rich Miano, the New York Jets. You've coached all of them. And what was it that made these stellar players in the history of UH so special?
I think all those players that you talked about have one thing in common, and that they worked hard to be the very best that they could be. Mm. You know, Rich Miano was a walk-on and didn't seem like he had that much going for him initially, but his work ethic was unbelievable, you know. Jesse Sapolo, he was the first guy I recruited from Hawaii. And Jesse just had the heart of a lion. You know, he's going to be the very best that he could be. He worked hard at doing being what he could, at what he was. Pisati Noisamoa was gifted. Had a little bit of rascal in him when he first got there, and but when he left, he you know, his last year, he made a statement to me. He said, "Coach, boy, doing things right is a lot easier than doing things wrong." You know, and boy, he went to class, and he was a model citizen, model student athlete his last year, and his athleticism just came out, and he performed. But he always did the best he could do. Their work ethics, what separate them from other people. Mm-hmm. Jeff Albrick, his desire was to be in the NFL, and he had that goal. And the way he worked in the weight room, the way he worked on the football field, the way he motivated his teammates, he just was going to be the very best that he could be. Mm-hmm. And that one thread, like Blaine Gysin, those guys were winners on and off the field. When they trained in the weight room, they did the best that they can possibly do. When they trained in practice, they were the best they could possibly be. And because they had that work ethic, they all were successful.
Something always has to be said about what goes on behind the scenes. When the lights are off, when the crowd, the roar of the crowd in the stadium is not there, and it's just them. So it's like almost a, just them and God. And they're there cranking it out. When the applause isn't there, they're driven from within. Coach, challenges in life, we all face them. You've had your share of them, and you've gone through recently, and over the past few years, something happened that really influenced you and took you to a whole other dimension in your faith. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, you know, getting back to my pastor, you know, Pastor Anderson, when he would give me a word when I'd come in church. This one particular Wednesday, I was in church, and I was sitting there, and he came down to me, and he said, and I didn't know him that well at that time, but he said, you know what? He said, on these trips that you take, see, he didn't even know that what I did, but I used to go recruiting and go to games, and I'd be out of town. So he said, one of these trips you're going to take, he says, you're going to get a phone call. And he said, you're going to think that that was your blessing, that that's what you've been waiting for. And he said that God said, not so. He said, your blessing is here in Hawaii and that you need to be in Hawaii. And he said, thus saith the Lord. So I'm thinking, so I thought at that particular time, I thought, wow. So I thought, when is this phone call going to come? Well, he didn't put a limit on there. So about a year went by, and every time I would go on a trip, I'd be looking for this phone call. Never got it. The very next, beginning of the very next year, recruiting, I was on the mainland recruiting, and I saw on the news that June Jones just got the head coaching job at Atlanta Falcons. And he said, I said, that must going to be the phone call. Because me and June had always talked, stayed in communication with each other from the time when he was playing in Hawaii to being in the NFL. So I was at my mother's home in California, and I thought that I would get the call, a phone call. But I never did. So I said, well, I guess that's not the call. So what ends up happening is I go to go back to Hawaii, and there's a message there that June Jones called. So the phone call I thought was going to come while I was away was going to be where I was, which doesn't make sense because how would the person know? But the phone call did come while I was away. And so I knew that he was going to offer me a job. So when I picked up the phone, he said, okay, George, we're ready to roll. He said, I got a job for you. And
With the Atlanta Falcons.
And he said, I can pay you this much money. And that was $40,000 more than what I was making. So I thought, But right at that time, I knew I couldn't take it because I knew I had gotten the prophecy. And so I said, well, I tell you what, June, I got to go talk to Valerie about this. And I was just stalling time, and I went. And the next day I called him back and told him I couldn't take the job. And he said, God, why not? He says, you know, we've been waiting for this. I said, well, God said that I need to stay in Hawaii. And as he said, well, I'm not going to mess with that. He said, matter of fact, it'll be another time. And hung up. Stayed in Hawaii. Now, what happens is a year later, I'm sitting in church, and our pastor's talking about storms. And he says, you're either going in one, you're in the middle of one, or either you're coming out of one. And I thought right then and there, I wonder what my storm is going to be. And then God told me right then and there that I was going to lose my job. And I thought, oh, no, that scared me. I said, no, there's no way I could lose my job. Then I wouldn't be able to pay for my house note. My kids were in private school, had a car note. I said, God wouldn't do that. So I just put that out of my mind. A year later, I lost my job. And I thought, I even asked God, I said, God, what is up with that? You tell me that my blessing's in Hawaii, and then I turned down the job with the Atlanta Falcons, and now I don't have a job, period? Well, I just kept thinking, well, God must have something for me. So I thought I had kind of a small business and that type of thing, and I thought I had about 6 months' worth of money saved up, and I thought that, in 6 months I'll have some contract and contracts, and I'll be on my way, and I won't miss a beat. And what happened is, for 6 months, I was making anywhere from 50 to 100 phone calls a day trying to get contracts, and I never got a yes until all my money was depleted, until I only had $2,000 left. And I thought, man, I only got $2,000. My house notice. Right about $2,000. So I told my wife, well, I can do either one of two things. I can either pay the last month house note, or I can put the $2,000 in church and trust God. And I knew that in Malachi 3, there's a verse there that says, prove me now. And I just stood out in my mind. Just test me, God was saying. So I told my wife, she said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to put it in church. So I wrote a $2,000 check, and I went to church that Sunday. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I was sweating. My stomach was cramping. You know, I was like, oh, God. I said, but God, you said, I just need to test you. I need you prove that you are the one true God. So the offering bucket comes around, I dropped that $2,000 check in the basket. And as soon as I put that $2,000 check in the basket, like a peace came over me. I said, well, God, that's it. It's all up to you now. And I had been making, like I said, I had been making 50 to 100 phone calls a day. And that's, I don't know, what is that? Shoot, close to almost 500 phone calls a week. I did that for 6 months and never got a yes because I understand now that God wanted me to get down to where I didn't have anything. The only thing that I needed was him. After I put that $2,000 in church, within 4 days, a guy called me with a contract. He didn't even ask me how much I was going to charge him. He just said, hey, George, he said, I got this contract for you. He said, if you can start on this date. Well, I didn't have any contracts, so he didn't know that. I said, I can start. He said, well, come down here and take a look at it. It was a whole half a block.
Wow.
It was a bank, it was their loan center, and it was another building, two-story, three-story, and the bank. And I gave him my price. He accepted my price. The next week, I got another call, an eight-story building over in Kaneohe. Then the next week, I got an office call. God just revealed himself to me.
Wow.
In a way that I didn't know before. And I had other challenges through my experience in those 3 years. I was really not at the university, but God No one can ever tell me that there's no God. Hmm. He will do what he said he will do.
And there came a time when you got another call from Coach June Jones, and it became the unfolding of what we now look back on as an amazing run of history. And the future is even brighter. The future is brighter for you too. As you listen, you know that God is at work not only in Coach Lumpkin's life, but in your life as well. I want you to go ahead and go visit us at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Here's a scripture, Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, George Lumpkin. Coach Lumpkin, thank you for being with us. Until next time, along with our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.